Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night, so you know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino down in Studio X. He's, we're not quite to Thanksgiving yet, but he's brining the turkey that is this show as we speak. So, I'm just, not time to put it in the oven just yet, but we start getting it ready. We are presented by Yuengling Flight and brought to you by Dasa Big Four. Yuengling Flight, America's newest light beer from America's oldest brewery. Nothing better on a Mississippi State game day. When you're in the Junction, if you're watching the Bulldogs at home, enjoy a Yuengling Flight. Enjoy responsibly. Yuengling Brewery, Pottsville, Pennsylvania. It's time to have the discussion, and we talked about it on the podcast. We've talked about it on the Sports Talk Mississippi. Let's bring it here. We all saw what happened on Saturday. We all saw with our own eyes what Kamario Taylor was able to do for Mississippi State. And, yeah, against Georgia in a game that they had in hand, perhaps their ears weren't as pinned back as you'd like them to be. But what Kamario Taylor gives this Mississippi State offense cannot be denied. And what he takes away that Blake Shapen can give, at best, is a wash. It's not like Mississippi State has been this precision passing team all season long that Shapen going out is going to take that away from you. So, in a game with this Missouri team coming up, and we'll talk a little bit more in depth about that game, but here's what you need to know about Missouri if you didn't know already. They can get after it on defense. One of the top teams in the conference in tackles for loss and sacks. They average multiple sacks per game. State has got to be more dynamic at the quarterback position. They've got to have the athleticism and the running ability that Kamario Taylor gives you. Shapen, for all his positives, and I look, so many people are so quick to denigrate Blake Shapen. He's played well enough at times this year. He's not the reason State lost to Tennessee and to Texas. He had good games in those games. But he played poorly last week, and you got to see enough of Kamario Taylor that with two games left in the season, I feel like it's just time to go ahead and make the change. Now, does that mean it's going to happen? Absolutely not. We're about an hour away from getting our student-athlete availability report, and we'll see where Blake Shapen is on that. He did not practice on Monday. Haven't gotten an update about Tuesday, Wednesday. If he hasn't practiced, it's not a thing. He won't play. There's no way he's not going to practice Tuesday, Wednesday, and then get the start on Saturday. So if we see doubtful or worse, he's not playing. But questionable is probably where you're going to see Blake Shapen tonight. And if indeed that is the case, we'll have to come back and look at it again on Thursday. And Ken and I get the idea, because yeah, that's what Lebby has done pretty much all season, right? It's been, let's go from questionable to either doubtful or probable. And that's been that way all season. We'll see. Other injuries, Albert Reese, I'm not expecting him. Isaac Smith, it'd be tough. It's going to be tough for him to play. That was not a good-looking situation, the way he was carried off the field. Had to be helped off and couldn't put any weight on his leg. I'll be surprised. But, he's such a tough guy. He might be able to come back. I would make the move. I don't think Lebby will make the move. I think if Shapen can go, even if he's like at 85, 90%, he's going to be out there. The good news for State is this is a Missouri team that's down to its third-string quarterback. They only put up 17 points last week on Texas A&M, and that was, again, kind of the same thing with State. They got it late in the game. They do have an outstanding rushing attack. Mod Hardy, we all know the story of him, the Lawrence County kid, who's been the top running back in the SEC all season long. But I feel like State can do some things to make them you know, you're not going to make them one-dimensional because they want to run the football. They want to get the ball and run the offense through Ahmad Hardy. So you're not really, you know, doing anything to them by saying, okay, we're going to load up the box. They're going to run it anyway. And they've been successful. You know, they were good running the ball last week against A&M. And if anything, they should have run it more, even when they fell behind. I remember this time last week, I didn't really have a good feeling for how I thought my prediction would go. And it's even more so this week. The first thing I got to know is who's playing quarterback. If Shapen is starting, I would pick State to lose. If Kamario Taylor is winning, I'll at least have that debate with myself. I would probably lean towards win because I feel like he's such much more of a dynamic athlete, and that running threat gives State something that they can build off of. Because he can still hit those deep passes down the field. We've seen that. He hit the long pass to Thompson. He's hit the long pass to Evans against Arkansas. State, against this Missouri pass rush, needs an athlete back there behind center. So if you're asking me, it's two different questions, right? If you're asking me, what would I do? If this was my decision, what would I do? I'd go ahead and bring the freshman in. I'd start getting the head start on next year. And you could, you know, I think he gives you the best opportunity to win one of these two final games, maybe both of them. But what if you ask me what I think Jeff Lebby is going to do, well, the answer is I think if Shapen can go, he will go. But I will say this, and I've said it all week long. If you play Taylor Saturday and he has any kind of success, win or loss, if he plays well, that has to be it. You can't go back to Shapen because it puts him in a no-win situation. Can you imagine if Taylor, you know, let's just say State plays Taylor and State wins. We'll make a positive hypothetical. And Taylor is, you know, throws for 200-plus yards, and he rushes for another 60, 70, 80 yards, and he's responsible for three or four touchdowns, and he plays really well. And then you have the bye week, and you come back, and you say, okay, well, during the bye week, you know, Shapen's healthy now, so he's a starter. He better come out and on fire against Ole Miss, otherwise you're going to have a really hostile crowd to deal with. And if that's fair or unfair, you can make that decision for yourself. If you're a person who says, I would never boo a college kid, that's fine. I respect that. But if you're a person who says, this guy makes six figures a year, he can take a boo, I get where you're coming from as well. But that's the situation you're putting him in. I think if you make a change this weekend, then you've made a change. You've only got two games left. Just go forward with Kamario Taylor as the quarterback at this team. Go ahead and give him that head start for next year. Ron, I've been texting you that all season, bro. SMH. Can we just with SMH? What are we doing here? Now you agree to Taylor. It's over with it with now, bro. It's not over. They could easily win one of these final two games and go to a bowl game. But, like I said, Shapen wasn't the reason they lost to Tennessee and Texas. He played well in the fourth quarter and got them the win over Arkansas. Could Taylor have stayed in and gotten that win? Maybe. Probably. It's not over. I don't know why you would think it's over. Regardless, they're going to have a chance to win on Saturday because Missouri offensively is limited right now because they're down to a third-string quarterback. So nothing's over. I don't agree with that at all. I think that State, I'm just concerned, you know, with State's offensive line has been so bad this year. And there's two games left. There's no if they get better at this point. They are what they are. Missouri's defensive line is so good. If you don't have a mobile quarterback out there, this could be a game where if Shapen is the starter, he's going to take four or five sacks, maybe more. Really, maybe more. State's given up 30 sacks on the year, I believe is the number. Shapen has been sacked 30 times is how I should put that. That's a lot. And Missouri as a team has 24 sacks. So this is, you know, what did we say last week was the resistible force and the movable object. This week is the resistible force and the immovable object. This is a really good Missouri defense. And they are going to bring a ton of pressure on Mississippi State. That's why State needs to have an athlete back there in Kamario Taylor. But will that be the case? I don't know the answer to that. This is the most intrigued by a student-athlete availability report I've been all year long. You know, Reese, Smith, Blothwell, come or go. This is the one where my prediction is going to ride on what I find out about Blake Shapen's status coming into this game. I still I think, like if you said assigned percentages, State winning with Chapin, probably 25%. State winning with Taylor, it's not a coin flip. Missouri's still favored in that situation, but it's 55-45, 60-40, something like that. I think it's noticeable. I think it's a noticeable difference with Taylor versus Chapin. Are there any incentives to Chapin's NIL deal that Levy may be trying to help him on? Buddy, if that's the case, you got to get rid of Jeff Levy. Hey, what about the incentives in your own contract about winning games, not about your quarterback's contract? No, I don't think that's the case at all. Dawson Big Four over there in Tupelo, 46 years. That's how long they've been in business selling vehicles to their community. If you are looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle, go see my friends at Dawson Big Four, 628 South Gloucester Street in Tupelo, or you can visit them online, DawsonBig4.com. Let's talk a little bit more about this game and about this matchup between Missouri and Mississippi State. Big game for the Bulldogs, big game for the Tigers. We'll do that when we come back. It's Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
The One Body. Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
If they call a celebration penalty on this, I'll shoot them.
That's what I'm talking about. Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for tuning in with me here on a Wednesday evening. We are presented by Yuengling Flight and brought to you by Dossett Big Four. It's a Mississippi game day. You need to have an ice-cold Yuengling Flight in hand. Whether you're in the Junction or just on your couch watching the Bulldogs, Mississippi game days are better with a Yuengling Flight. Brew for those that never settle. Enjoy responsibly. Yuengling Flight. Going, it's kind of one of the things that I've enjoyed about this season, and I don't know if enjoy is the right word, but is these games against the top teams in the conference where State has just been better than I thought they could be. Now, Georgia doesn't count because they didn't play well in that game. But Tennessee, Texas, for moments against Texas A&M, you know, first three quarters, they were in that game. And now playing Missouri, these are all games I thought State would just get run off the field in, and they've been competitive. And they've had opportunities. And they've had chances to win. And they you know, you can play the woulda, coulda, shoulda game. Jeff Lebby doesn't. I'm not going to either. This is a game that has been – State has been given a set of circumstances here that puts them in a position where they where a win isn't – out of the question. In fact, it could possibly. I don't know if they could. I don't think they could be favored. I don't think so because Missouri is so good defensively. But the line might. You know, the line it could come down, especially if Taylor starts. I think bettors are going to say, well, if he starts, they have a little bit of. I know that he's a true freshman. I know. I'm just going to tell you that with Kamari Taylor, and if I'm wrong at the end of the day, I'm wrong. I'm just wrong. But I've seen enough to think that this guy can do it, that I think he could be a top quarterback in the SEC. He's got the skills. He's got the athleticism. And he just needs the reps. I really do truly believe that. But you're talking about a Missouri team that there's a lot going on around that program. So it starts with, you know, they lose their starting quarterback. They had lost their second-string quarterback the first game of the year. So this is their third-string guy. Last week's defeat to Texas A&M knocked them out of the college football playoff discussion. So that's been taken away from them. Then you have their coach, who is rumored, connected, however you want to put it, to Penn State and to Florida. There's some talk with him in Auburn. He's going to be a candidate for any other big jobs that open up. But he's been successful. And so I would look at that, and I, you know, my question that I asked Callum McAndrew earlier on Sports Talk Mississippi, and I asked Grace Ybarra, who's going to join me for tomorrow's Thunder and Lightning podcast, is mentally, you know, where is this team? How, where are they? Because they would be forgiven if their focus was not locked in as it should be. We talked about this earlier with Borky that, you know, for Florida playing Ole Miss this weekend, I got no problem telling you that they laid down last weekend against Kentucky. They quit in that game. They didn't want to be out there. And that's how you lose to Kentucky 38-7. And so that's why I'm so confident that Ole Miss is going to win big this weekend, because I think that they're going to come out, punch Florida right in the mouth, and Florida's going to say, we don't want to be out here. I don't think that Missouri is like that. But you can ask the question like, hey, mentally, are they in the right spot right now? And, you know, I made the comment, it reminds me a little bit of 2022, when all those rumors were surrounding Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss going to Auburn. And, you know, the team suffered for that. I don't know that Missouri would have won last Saturday if Bo Pribula had been healthy. I think Texas A&M is really, really good, and they're playing at a high level. It would have been a more different game. And I would tell you, if Pribula was playing, I would not think State had much of a chance in this game. But he's not. So you've got an opportunity here to get a good win, to give yourself a little bit more momentum. You tell you, at that point, you've won two of your last three, and going into the Egg Bowl with that momentum. Hog in Oxford asked, could this potentially be the biggest Egg Bowl in history? No, I can't say that. I mean, 2014, both teams were vying for, you know, big bowls. 2015, the winner of that game was going to go to the Sugar Bowl. 98, State wins that game to go win the West. I mean, you want to go back to the old days, 1941, the Egg Bowl decides the SEC champion that year. So, I mean, no, it's not. It has a lot of juice, though. There's no question about that, because Ole Miss will come in. We keep talking about this, and I guess it's never too early to talk about the Egg Bowl. I think, you know, 11-1 Ole Miss is in the playoff. No questions asked. No one's worrying about them. 10-2 Ole Miss, at the very least, people are going to say, are going to poke holes in their resume. So that game has some meaning for Ole Miss. And one thing that we've talked about a lot the last couple of years is that 2023, sounded like Tweety Bird there for a second, 2023, 2024, we went into those games saying, oh my gosh, Ole Miss is just going to run up and down the field on Mississippi State. It's going to be a total massacre. In both games, you know, State was a one-possession game in the fourth quarter. So this is a much improved Mississippi State team. The game's in Starkville. By the way, I don't know. Nobody, this is like an underrated storyline. State's record in Starkville over the last few years is not great in the Egg Bowl. Ole Miss won in 15, 17, 21, and 23. So they've won four of the last five games played in Starkville. State is 3-2 in Oxford, in case you're wondering, the last five. So I'm going to be forgiven, and I know some people might get mad, but like, I think it'll be a close game. I mean, State was close to Texas. They were close with Tennessee. There's no reason for me to think that Ole Miss is just going to come into Starkville and blow State out. I think they'll go into the fourth quarter, and State will have a chance to win. And it'll go back to that same thing I talked about in the Texas game. They'll have a moment, a play. Make the play, win the game. Don't make the play, lose the game. I could see it very easily coming down to that. One of the things that gives me, if you want to talk about what would give me confidence that State could beat Ole Miss. Last year, State was so bad defensively, but they played their best game of the year against, you know, non-FCS opponents was the Egg Bowl. They played pretty well defensively in that game. They only gave up 26 points. They gave up the one big play to Ulysses Bentley. They had a couple, Ole Miss scored on one short field for sure. After a Van Buren interception, it may have been two. I don't remember off the top of my head. But State defensively played as well as they could. And like I said, this is a better defense this year. So, yeah, if you said right now, what's the line on that game? Probably Ole Miss 5.5, 6.5, something like that. Maybe a little lower. Just depends. You know, this weekend's results, so I got to see. You know, if State wins, that's probably worth a few points in that. Would I pick State to win as we sit here today on November the 12th? No, I wouldn't. But would I pick State to, you know, if you'd said, if my prediction was, is it a one-possession game going into the fourth quarter? Yeah, I would absolutely make that prediction. I wouldn't have a problem saying that. But again, a lot of that goes into what happens this weekend. If State plays well and gives themselves some momentum, and you see Kamario Taylor in command of the offense, and it looks like he can be a difference maker, that goes a long way into what I would be willing to project in, you know, 2 weeks from today. Which, when you think about it, gosh, that will be 2 weeks from today. I'll be making that prediction. Because, you know, we won't have a we'll have a Friday. I don't know what we're doing there yet. No one's told me. Someone let me know so I know when to come to work. I don't want to get in trouble. This weekend for Mississippi State, it's such a big game just because State has been the Missouri situation has given State an opportunity. Fully healthy Missouri probably wins this game relatively easily. Where they are, if they win it easily, then that's a huge indictment on Jeff Lebby and Coleman Hutzler. And for Hutzler, for all the improvement he's had this year, statistically, it's not that improved. They're still one of the worst defenses in the conference. The problem is they were so bad a year ago, they had nowhere to go but up. They, at the very least, though, they have gone up. They did not hit rock bottom and start digging. So we'll give them that. 2 weeks from today. Be the day before Thanksgiving and 2 days before the Egg Bowl. It's crazy how fast these things go by, man. I mean, it feels like just the other day I was making a prediction for Mississippi State, Southern Mississippi. And now here we are. We've only got two of these games left. College football, man. Goes too fast and stays away for too long. Dotson Big Four in Tupelo. 46 years. Their certified technicians in both the Honda and General Motors Service Centers are dedicated to providing the best care for your car. Award-winning service. And, of course, a great selection of GMC, Buick, Honda, whatever you're looking for. The friendly team at Dotson Big Four is ready to help you find your perfect fit. Visit them online at DotsonBig4.com or stop by their convenient location at 628 South Closter Street in Tupelo. Dotson Big Four, your family-owned destination for 46 years of great vehicles and award-winning service. We'll switch gears. We'll talk some hoops when we come back. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Ace. Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. We are presented by Yuengling Flight, brought to you by Dossett Big Four. Mississippi State basketball. Not a great go of it Monday night in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, as the Bulldogs fall 96-80. And don't be mistaken, that game was not that close. And that's saying something, considering it's a 16-point spread. 96 points. And, you know, what's funny is if you look at the box score, you see State shot over 50% from the floor, and they shot 41% from three, and they were 78% off the line. You're like, how'd they lose? Just keep going down the box score till you get the turnovers. They turned it over 26 times. Guys, you're not going to win any basketball games. Unless you're going to shoot 75%, I guess. Not what Bulldog fans were looking for. And then now we have the Jaden Epps saga beginning. So Epps in the exhibition game against Houston suffered a concussion. It's cleared to play against North Alabama. Clearly didn't look like himself. As a guard who was a, you know, double-digit scorer in the Big East last year, he had four shots blocked. He didn't look right. Doesn't travel with the team on Monday to South Dakota. Doesn't play. Today, Chris Jans, speaking to the media, just had no real updates. Said hope to have him back soon. After 3 straight years of a transfer coming in and then immediately basically hitting the door, I understand, guys. I get it. I get your concern. I get your worry that this is going to become one of that. one of those situations again. I think we got to, you know, see what happens this weekend. Epps has apparently had a concussion issues before, had him when he was at Illinois. So, you know, and everything I've heard about the concussion he suffered at Houston, it was not a good one. He hit the floor hard. But it leads me to ask the question, like, how did he get cleared for the North Alabama game? Or did something happen in the North Alabama game that worsened his symptoms? I don't know the answer to that question. But that's a guy Mississippi State was absolutely counting on coming into this season. If you go back to, I think, a week ago when we talked about this, I said, you know, three things I feel good about are Hubbard, Ballard, and Epps. And here we are two games in. It's only two games, but the only thing I feel good about is Hubbard. Ballard has not been particularly impressive, and Epps has been injured. And like I said, until he gets back out on the court, until he plays games in a row, everybody's going to be worried that, hey, is this another one of those situations? I thought it was going to be Amir Ali that we were having these discussions about after he did not play coach's decision against North Alabama. But he did play in this other game. You know, all offseason, the talk around him was great player, but defensively doesn't give the effort that he's going to have to give. Which makes me wonder, looking at the effort the other guys gave, what happened? How bad is his effort? Iowa State was really bad defensively in this game. Now, give Iowa State a lot of credit. That's a good basketball team. They'll play into March. They're a tough team. But State made so many self-inflicted wounds in that game. If you go back and watch, some of their turnovers, they're just throwing the ball away. They're not getting their pocket picked. They're just making mistakes, missing open looks, bad fouls. Just they played terribly. That was, from a non-conference standpoint, a lot of people will point to the game against Southern 2 years ago where they lost at home to a SWAC team. Yes, in terms of the kind of loss it was worse. But that was a game, if you watched it, State led for most of the game, and then they just went to sleep at the end. This is a game State was really never in. They led for the first maybe, what, 5-6 minutes of the game, and then that was it. And they were just run off the court. So they got a lot to work on. They play this weekend, 2 o'clock tip at the Hump against Southeastern Louisiana. The Lions will be in Starkville for that one. But they've got a lot of work to do. They got to figure out these rotations. You know, they got some guys out there. Like, I like the energy that Sergei Makara brings, but he does not appear to be ready for SEC basketball yet. He looked outmatched at times. I mentioned Quincy Ballard. He just doesn't, the physicality hasn't shown up as much. I like what I saw from Achora early in the game, but by and large, he wasn't much of a factor. Jabori McGee was really good in game one, not so much in game two. Sean Jones gives you what you give. He gives you, but you know, I feel like State sometimes puts a little bit too much on his plate. That's not a guy I want taking big shots. I want him defense, rebound. I mean, playing the Cam Matthews role, basically. Defense, rebounding. Maybe he can give you a little ball handling, but him squaring up for three doesn't inspire a ton of confidence. They got a lot to figure out. Now, Hubbard's been outstanding in both games. So that's a great starting point. When your best player is playing great, great. Can we get the guys around him to play good? I don't know the answer to that. The good news is that for Mississippi State, they have some opportunities in this non-conference to make it up. And that's going to be probably a quad one loss the whole year. It's not going to be a resume killer by any stretch of the imagination. But it's absolutely going to be a game that you're going to look back and go, what happened? That's what you hope anyway. That you look at it and you go back, what happened there? That was awful. Like, normally, the State's played like that at Tuscaloosa a couple of times. That's a team that just has Jans's number. But a non-conference game, State's usually been so solid in the non-conference over these past few years. That's what's made these NCAA tournament bids a thing, is State's ability to go into conference play already in a good spot in the net and not needing to win 9, 10, 11 conference games just to build up their resume. So that's not a resume killer. And you look at next week, they're in the tournament with Kansas State. And I think they would play the winner or loser of Nebraska, New Mexico. So those will probably end up being quad one, quad two kind of games because they're neutral site games. We shall see. I was just unimpressed with the way they played and just the effort. And that's not something I'm used to seeing from a Chris Jans team. That's not what you want. That has not been the way under Chris Jans. You never really questioned the effort in these games. But I did. I did Saturday night. Sorry, Monday night. I don't know why I keep saying Saturday. Monday night, I just watching that game, I was like, what are they doing? They didn't look like a Mississippi State basketball team. And hey, look, you got Hubbard out there with four new guys. I mean, Jones isn't new, but Jones is a starter. You got to, you know, of the 8-9 guys you're playing, 7 of them weren't at Mississippi State a year ago. You got a couple freshmen in there as well. And I'll tell you what, I really like what I've seen early from Jamarian Davis Fleming. He's played really well, the Canton native. I like what I've seen from King Grace at times. So you got some good young building block pieces, but your veteran guys, the guys you brought in, Epps, Ballard, Achor, McGee, they've got to deliver night in, night out for you. Otherwise, it's going to be a very uninspiring season, to say the least. So we shall see. I was taken aback. I was trying to think of other syllables here, or syllables, synonyms here. I was aghast at the way they played. It was just not what I expected. You know, I sit down, I'm watching the game, and State's going back and forth with them the first few minutes, and Hubbard's hitting some shots, and I'm like, all right, gonna be one of those games back and forth. You know, somebody will build a small lead, and it'll get chopped down, and so on and so forth. But when Iowa State grabbed control of that game, they never let it go. And they played really well. Like I say, give them a lot of credit. But at the same time, for Mississippi State, they were poor. And they have got a lot of work to do if they're going to turn this around. So I said, next Thursday, the 20th, against Kansas State, if they don't show up to that one, we can start doing some sirens, some warning bells. I mean, how many games can you lose in the non-conference and still feel really good about where you're going to be in SEC play? It can't be more than 3. If you lose 4 non-conference games, I'm not going to sit there and tell you, okay, well, they're definitely going to win 9 conference games and be okay. Not in the SEC. So they've got to, you know, this is a good opportunity this weekend against Southeastern Louisiana, a team that you should be able to beat relatively easily. Just get some confidence back into the game. See some shots go in. Got to figure out these rotations. Who's playing when? Who's doing what? And you got to get, like I said, I don't know what's going to happen with Epps. That's going to be the question. And, I mean, if he's in the concussion protocol, I mean, is he going to be ready for Saturday? I don't know the answer to that. And the fact that Jans didn't just come out and say, yeah, he couldn't, you know, we didn't feel good about him traveling yet, but he'll be good to go for Saturday. The fact that he didn't say that gives me some pause. State needs that guy. They brought him in to be what they didn't have last year because Kanye Clary did this, right? Got injured and said, nah, I don't want to play anymore. They need a guy who can be in that backcourt to take some pressure off of Hubbard. If he can't do it, it's going to be a long season for Mississippi State. Dawson Big Four in Tupelo. 46 years? That's a long time to be in business. And you can't stay in business unless your customers know that you're going to take care of them. And that's what Dawson Big Four has been doing for 3 generations, serving their community, building a legacy of trust and exceptional customer service. Visit them online at DawsonBig4.com or stop by their convenient location at 628 South Gloucester Street in Tupelo. If you're looking to buy a new or pre-owned vehicle, Dawson Big Four is the place to go. We'll wrap it up when we come back. Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
The best Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
You called down the thunder. Well, now you got it.
All right, let's wrap it up here on Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi, presented by Yuengling Flight, brought to you by Dawson Big Four. If you're not already subscribed to the Thunder and Lightning podcast, I mean, what the heck, guys? Let's go. Should be. 5 days a week, plus all sorts of other content. And next week, it's the second bye week, which means we're going to do another bye week blitz. And I'm already scheduled to talk with Coach Brian O'Connor. And I'm efforting, I love using that word, efforting, talk to Coach Samantha Ricketts about some Mississippi State softball as well. Mississippi State baseball. Crazy that we have, that state has had three crowds over 10,000 since the end of the baseball season. But you had the two games with the party animals. And then this past weekend, over nearly 11,000 in the stadium for the Diamond Dog Classic. By all accounts, a first-class, awesome event. I haven't heard anybody tell me they didn't have a great time at it to see all their former, all the former Diamond Dogs out there. To see Will Clark and Rafael Palmeiro in the 85 uniforms yet again. That's something you didn't think you were going to get to see. And so that was really cool. Seeing Hunter Renfro put one over the wall again. That's just stuff you don't think you're going to do. Somebody asked on Thunder and Lightning on the rumblings if should State do an alumni for other sports. I don't think you can do one for football, unless you want to do a flag football game, but I don't know if anybody wants to watch that. But an alumni basketball game will be a lot of fun. You could have some good times with that. So I hope the Diamond Dog Classic becomes a more of an every year thing. I don't know how you keep it fresh. You keep getting the same guys. But at the same time, you know, Dakota Jordan played, and he's just a year removed from being on the team. So maybe, you know, somebody, you get some young guys here and there, and you know, you keep some of the veterans. My guess is the success of it this year might draw some more people who were on the fence about playing in it last year, or this year, I should say. So for next year. Did I confuse you? I confused myself there. So that's a really cool. And baseball, man, you know, 93 days. I wish we had known. I wasn't paying attention, but last Wednesday would have been 100 days till first pitch at Duty Noble Field, and of course all around the state. We should have done a little college baseball preview. Maybe we'll do it at 90 days. Maybe we'll come back. Maybe next week will be a good week to do it because, you know, we have State and Ole Miss both off. You know, obviously USM still playing really good football, but we could sneak in a college baseball day next week. I think I'll point that out to Michael Borky because it's a very anticipated season coming up. You know, State, obviously we know the hype around them with Brian O'Connor coming in. Ole Miss and USM coming off of great seasons. Ole Miss with a big bounce back year last year, getting into the regionals. Southern Mississippi, just the picture of consistency. Right, just get your pen out and write down 40 wins regional host. Write it down. You go ahead and write down Hattiesburg Regional and just put USM on top, and we'll figure out the other three teams when we get there. So, yeah, we should do that next week, a little college baseball talk. And, of course, you know, looking ahead to next week, in my life, I don't remember an off week before the Egg Bowl for both schools. So you're telling me we're going to basically get, you know, once we get past Monday and we're recapping, it's time to start focusing on the big game. So I will start the process of reaching out to former Bulldogs, and I will allow Michael Borky and Richard Cross to do the same for the red and blue memories. And we'll have a few days of great conversation here that you're not going to get anywhere else. And of course, I mentioned the Thunder and Lightning podcast, the Rebel Report podcast, the Eagle Hour podcast, the Sports Talk Mississippi podcast. Nobody covering sports in the state of Mississippi like we do here on Super Talk. We give it to you. It's no cost. It's free of charge. Doesn't cost you a single penny. This time of year, that's good stuff. The holidays are nearly upon us. 2 weeks from today is the day before Thanksgiving and 2 days before the Egg Bowl. Only one game each between, you know, for State. State plays this weekend. Ole Miss plays this weekend. And then next week, you know, there's none of that. They're playing an FCS team. We're really focused on Abilene Christian. We're really focused on East Tennessee State this weekend. We're not looking ahead to the Egg Bowl at all. We don't have to play that game. We don't have to have those little white lies being told. We can just say, yes, we're talking about the Egg Bowl this week. We'll do that. We'll do that next week on this show on Thunder and Lightning and, of course, on Sports Talk Mississippi. It has been another great Wednesday evening with you here on the show. I appreciate you guys tuning in. Got some really kind words here. I'm going to read them. You do a great job. I know you're a family man, but you could easily go to a larger market, or regional or national. Imagine an Ole Miss fan that makes it a point to listen to Thunder and Lightning. If you could email Will at, you know what, never mind. Quite happy here at Super Talk, and have been for a long time. Not looking to go anywhere. Enjoy talking with you guys every week. Plus, if I left, I'd have to bring Rhino with me. I need his help. And Rhino, would you be interested in moving along?
Depends on where it is.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that off air. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Talk to you again tomorrow on Sports Talk Mississippi. For Rhino, down in Studio X, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning. We've been presented by Yuengling Flight and brought to you by Dossett Big Four.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.